Lutheran Service Book is a hymnal with more than 600 hymns, Luther's Small Catechism, 150 psalms, daily prayers, and more. And you can take it with you wherever you go with the new Lutheran Service Book ebook edition. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, a devotional resource when you're on the go. Lutheran Service Book ebook edition, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, issuesetc.org. Oh, we come to the time of the Issues Etc. week, as often as we do, listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line, that I think is fair to say is our executive producer Jeff Schwartz's favorite segment of the show. He, and I speak in complete sarcasm, he does not like being on the mic. Of course, he has to read the emails so that I can respond to them. It makes it a little easier, but he never is a happy camper going into listener email or the Issues Etc. comment line, but he does his job nonetheless. We like to hear from our listeners on a regular basis, and we do. We aren't always able to respond to every email or to every comment that we get, but we do like to set aside some time as often as we can to respond to listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. comment line. Feel free to use it anytime. It's open 24/7. Questions, comments, show suggestion. If you listen on demand and you've got a question lingering from something you've heard, you've got a criticism, you've got something that you want to get off your chest, that's what it's for. 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382, or as I said, you can email us anytime, talkback@issuesetc.org. Let's kick it off with a little email. What's first, Jeff?
Well, first of all, I love this segment, this feature, listener email, so much. You know the last time we've done this?
It's been months.
It's like April 28th.
Oh, really?
Yes.
It's been a lot of months.
But it's not just my not liking to be on the radio. It's also, I look at the downloads, and our listeners don't like it that much either. So, anyway.
But it's necessary.
It is necessary.
We do have to respond to email sooner or later. All right.
Exactly.
So, what's first?
This comes from Kirk. He says, I am a frequent listener to Issues Etc., and my church donates to Issues Etc. monthly. I am writing in reference to the show on radical Lutheranism, Gerhard Ferdy, with Christopher Jackson, your guest. As one who has read all of Ferdy's books, I would say that Jackson is very misinformed. I took issue with one statement after another. I couldn't believe it when he dismissed Ferdy's book on being a theologian of the cross by saying that this was Luther before he was converted, implying that the Heidelberg Theses were not important. Poor scholarship. By the way, I personally know two of your regular guests who quote Ferdy in their talks and books frequently. I expect more from Issues Etc. Saying that, keep up the good work. Thanks for listening, and thanks for the feedback, Kirk.
Well, I have to take issue with you. First of all, I don't think Pastor Jackson in any way dismissed on being a theologian of the cross. We used to do, a lot of interviews that were kind of built around that treatment of Luther's Heidelberg Disputation. What he did do was he reminded us that Luther's Heidelberg Disputation is pre-Reformation Luther. So it has to be understood that way. Now, is the Heidelberg Disputation greatly useful? Yes, it is, if you can understand it. There is a reason why most people, when they deal with the Heidelberg Disputation, only talk about one paragraph of this thing, because the rest of it is very difficult to sort out. Luther was a genius, and he often flew far higher than the rest of us do intellectually. But what he says there about being a theologian of the cross has held in good stead in Lutheran theology. Now, I will say he neither dismissed the Heidelberg Disputation, just simply reminded us of where its context is found. He also didn't dismiss Ferdy's book on it. There's a lot of good stuff in Ferdy's book on the Heidelberg Disputation. But you do need to bear in mind something about Gerhard Ferdy's theology. And this is difficult to, it's an obstacle that I don't think anyone should be able to get over. And that is, his view of sin and the atonement is not that of Scripture or the Lutheran confessions. Does he have a scriptural view of the theology of the cross, narrowly speaking, as far as it goes? Yes. But his view of sin and the atonement are nowhere found in Holy Scripture or the Lutheran confessions. So, if we want to talk about where you get your Lutheran theology, look, I'm not going to make any apology for the fact that as much as we can on this, insofar as we have, it's in our power to do on this program, we're going to get our Lutheran theology from Scripture and the Lutheran confessions. And if someone disagrees with that, even if it be the much vaunted Gerhard Fürthe, we're going to point it out. And if you have a deficient view of sin and of the atonement, it does have a tendency to affect the rest of your theology. And I think the hour that we did with Christopher Jackson was intended to say, look, be careful, because what you think Fürthe means may not be what he actually means. Go back, read it in light of his view of sin, which is a very weakened view of sin. He actually has Jesus dying on the cross for our self-justification, not for our sins. He has a definition of sin that is really disconnected from the Ten Commandments and the expressed external, inscripturated will of God. It's just kind of a general self-justification. And if Jesus isn't suffering the wrath of God on account of your sin as your substitute at the cross, and if Jesus isn't paying the price, the penalty for your sins at the cross, that is a view of the atonement that is foreign to Holy Scripture. And that's not just one doctrine that can be isolated from the others. Remember, Lutheran theology, the Lutheran confessions, clearly teach that the view of the atonement is central, central to one's theology. And if you get it wrong, it will affect the rest of your theology. Does Fürthe use all the right words? Yes, but we were saying, be careful. He might not define them the way that either Scripture or the Lutheran confessions do. Now, we did do an hour, which might frustrate you a little bit more, with Dr. Ken Sherb and Dr. Scott Murray, both, and I would consider both of these men bona fide experts on the subject. Dr. Ken Sherb did his doctoral dissertation on the antinomian controversy.
Melanchthon and the law.
On Melanchthon and the third
Scott
use
Murray
of the law.
Was on
yeah.
The...
Melanchthon and the third use of the law, which led to the antinomian it's the earliest antinomian controversy in the Lutheran Reformation. Dr. Sherb did his dissertation on that. And Dr. Scott Murray, his dissertation, which is in the form of his book, is on 20th century Lutheran views, aberrant views mostly, of the law, where they deviate from Scripture and the confession. So we did that hour. You want to listen to that. It's available on demandissuesetc.org. Look for Dr. Scott Murray and Dr. Ken Sherb. I think we just called it the Lutheran teaching on the law or something like that. It's an hour long. We did the history of the thing. And I think we did actually bring Gerhard Fürthe into the conversation as well, two experts on how Lutherans, both in the past and in the near past, have gone seriously wrong on the teaching of the law departed from Scripture and the confessions.
Email from Kurt says, unfortunately, I was unable to attend this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, as I was serving as our congregation's lay delegate to the Minnesota South District Convention. I had planned to purchase an CD, an audio DVD, at $300, but it is way too high a cost. I do not know who set this price point on a donation, but I think it is much too high. I look forward to attending the conference next year. Thanks for listening, Kurt.
Here's our calculus for how we set the price point, by the way. And we actually put a lot of thought into this. It was since we've been doing the conference, we've been producing the audio DVD, and we went around and around and around, and we revisit the subject every year when we do the conference to make sure that we have set the price point at something we think is fair. Here's how we do the calculus. It is those who attend. Our touch point is those who actually attend the conference. That's how we set our price point. They pay about $100 for their registration, and then many of them travel, which is expensive as well. They have to cover some of their own meals and their travel expenses and their housing as well. Everybody who comes and stays in a hotel has to cover their lodging as well. So we arrived at the cost for the non-attendees of the DVD at $300 to make it fair to everybody, both attendees and non-attendees. So that's how we arrived at it. You know, we are always, always open to criticism on that. But we hope what we've done is been fair to everybody, those who chose to attend and those who chose not to attend the conference but still want to get the audio DVD of the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, which you can get at our website, issuesetc.org. Look for the audio DVD logo, click on it, and either by check or online, you can order it for yourself for a suggested donation of $300 to Issues Etc. If you're doing it by check, make sure that you write audio DVD or conference DVD in the memo line of your check and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Or look for the audio DVD logo at our website, issuesetc.org. When we come back, more of listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line.
Communication's never been as easy as today. Would make me happy when you've gone so far away.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. Issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
This is the day which the Lord has made.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana at issuesetc.org. Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel, live weekday mornings, 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Zion Lutheran, Muscoda, Illinois; Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Wayne, Indiana; Grace Lutheran, Auburn, Michigan; Zion Lutheran, Pleasant Plains, Illinois; the Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word, Rochester Hills, Michigan; Zion Lutheran, Laramie, Wyoming; Redeemer Lutheran, Seymour, Indiana; Zion Lutheran, East Moline, Illinois; and Peace Lutheran, South St. Louis County. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
If you call,
welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line on this Thursday afternoon, July the 30th. What's next, Jeff?
Heather writes, there is a rostered pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod who is asking the LCMS to consider gender dysphoria not to be sinful or wrong. He even suggests that transitioning may be the best way to handle this. He is himself on estrogen and is gender dysphoric. As an LCMS member with a relative who also says he is transgendered, I am alarmed that a pastor would say that transitioning would be a good thing and not sinful. This message goes against Scripture and is exactly what the sinful flesh wants to hear. This would harden them in their unrepentance. It would not point them to Christ and the gospel they so desperately need. How can we address the medical justification of sin? Thanks for the email and thanks for listening, Heather.
Well, that's a great question. In fact, it's even broader than the specific that you bring up, but I want to come back to the general question here in a minute. I am aware. I do not believe that this man is any longer a rostered pastor. I might be wrong about that in a technical sense, but I believe that he has voluntarily retired from the active ministry, and that's good because he ought to in the state of confusion that he finds himself. He has made several specific statements in writing on his personal blog that transitioning, a chemical transitioning, or even maybe even surgical, it's difficult to tell, but at the very least, a chemical transitioning from male to female, he does not consider it sinful. He doesn't want to call it sinful. He even has said that he thinks it might be the best option for the Christian who's gender dysphoric. Now, this is detrimental to someone else who is struggling against gender confusion. This is detrimental. This is not good advice, it's not godly advice, and it's not a good way to guide people through this. What both this retired pastor and others who are struggling with this need is not flirting with the option of chemically transitioning between male and female. What they need is sound pastoral counsel and psychological help. They don't need to transition. The human heart is wicked beyond all measure, mine included. I know my capacity to justify my own sin. I encounter it every single day. And what we're watching here is sadly an attempt to justify sin, a sinful solution to a situation that does not require transitioning. Now, does that mean that life will be easy? No. But you know, the Christian is called not to do anything he can to make his life easier. And I'm not trying to be insensitive to the struggle here, but I have to simply speak the truth here as it's given to us from Scripture. We do not sin in order to make our life easier. And look, I said it was a bigger picture. It's a much bigger picture. Justification of medical solutions to our problems. Why does a woman whose conscience is screaming at her, don't go have an abortion? Go have an abortion. Why does she do it? When her conscience is saying, no, 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 don't do it. Well, because the medical option is there, and she somehow finds a way, at least for the moment, to justify it. I have to do it. I have no choice. No, that's not true. You know, the only person who tells someone, you have to sin, you have no choice, do it, is not God. It's Satan. So for this retired pastor, stop listening to the devil's lies. And for those who are struggling similarly, the devil is not going to give you good counsel here. He's not going to give you good guidance. Only a righteous and merciful God in Jesus Christ will give you. The devil doesn't care about you. But God in Jesus Christ really, truly does. So we listen to him, even when it's more difficult to listen to him than it is to listen to ourselves, our own justifications, or even to the devil.
Hi there. I just wanted to call and say thank you to Issues Etc. for doing this segment called Looking Forward to Sunday Morning. I am a pastor, and it's a great resource for me to get ideas for sermons and also to help me evaluate if I'm on the right track or if I'm seeing something in the text that isn't there. It is an incredible blessing to be able to have you, Todd, and Dr. Frequencher to help me study these texts via Issues Etc., to help me properly feed the sheep that have been entrusted to me. I also want to thank Dr. Frequencher for his willingness to do this so faithfully every week. I know it has to take a lot of time out of his busy work week, and once again, thank you to Issues Etc. for all that you do. And I pray that the Lord will continue to bless the precious work that has been entrusted to you.
Well, thank you very much. And the credit goes to Dr. Frequencher and to Pastor David Peterson, who do our Looking Forward to Sunday Morning segments with us every week. One doing the three-year lectionary, the other one doing the historic one-year lectionary. And so the credit goes to them. This is something that we actually wanted to do for a long, long time and finally found a way to do it with a semi-permanent guest on a regular weekly basis. I find it very helpful. I don't preach every week. I preach about once a month, but I find it extremely helpful. I heard from pastors and lay people who say just knowing what's coming up Sunday morning is greatly beneficial to me. I've heard it now. When I walk in, I'm not getting it cold. I've heard it. It's been organized in my mind. I might not have been able to absorb it all, but it's not the first time I'm hearing it or being exposed to it. It gives me a deeper understanding and an insight into the riches that are poured out upon us, the overwhelming riches that are poured out upon us in all of the propers of the coming Sunday morning. It's an example of what we like to call providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines. Just our way, sitting here behind a microphone in a little dank studio, of offering both lay people and their pastors a better resource, a good resource to prepare for this coming Sunday morning.
You know, it's not just for pastors either. As you mentioned, lay people, I'll give you a good example. Now, I benefit because I get the email from the host, so I get David Peterson's notes. So our church, St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Hamels, the one-year historic lectionary, the parable of the unjust steward. I mean, every year that comes up, you know, and I used to read that to my kids, like, look, I don't know. I'm just honest with you.
I don't know what you mean.
But I had David Peterson's notes, which we use for the interview, and it's just a great way to prepare for the hymn of the day, for all the readings coming up this Sunday, as a layperson to go in there and it's like, oh, you know, I know what's, you know, what we're going to be studying and what pastor's going to be preaching and teaching on this morning.
Well, it's kind of like, to me, it's kind of like we did some traveling here this last weekend. Up into unknown territory. We went up into Minnesota. It was beautiful up there, but it was a lot of winding roads. All right. In the old days, you would have sat down with a map and said, ah, here's where I'm going to go and how it's going to be. Nowadays, we're lazy, right? I just turn on the GPS on my phone and my phone tells me turn by turn. I have no sense of where I'm going whatsoever. I'm just trusting Siri to lead me there. And because I've never been there before and I haven't looked at the map to see where I'm going. This is kind of like sitting down and looking at the map and saying, ah, that's where our destination is. And that's how we're going to get there, so that you're not sitting there constantly surprised or stunned at the next turn. It's a great way to prepare for the coming Sunday morning.
Let's get one more email in before the break. This comes from Tom. He listens in Belfast, Northern Ireland. I recently had a discussion about the Lord's Supper with a brother in Christ. When I tried to explain the Lutheran view to him, he disagreed by saying that the Lord's body and blood are no more literally in the bread and wine than Christ himself was a literal door when he declared, I am the door. What would the Lutheran response be to this brother's view on the Lord's Supper? Thanks for the email and thanks for listening in Ireland, Tom.
First of all, it's never a good idea to pit Jesus against himself. It's never a good idea to take one saying of Jesus to disprove another. And that, let's just be honest, that's what you're doing. Jesus says, this is my body, this is my blood. And I think it's the height of hubris to say, oh, but Jesus, you're wrong, which is exactly what's happening here. But to say, well, Jesus' body and blood are no more there in the bread and wine than Jesus is a literal door. Jesus is a literal door. He's more a door than the thing I'm staring at that divides me from those bozos out in the control room. That thing is, it's a door, but Jesus is the door. He's more a door than any door will ever be in our experience. When he says, I am the door, he doesn't mean I'm like a door. He doesn't say I'm like a door, does he? No more than he says, this is like my body and like my blood. He says, I am the door. Think about it this way. When Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, is he saying I'm like a good shepherd? Or is he saying he really is the good shepherd, better than any shepherd of sheep will ever be? Or when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, is he saying I'm kind of like the way? I'm like the truth. I'm kind of somewhat like the life. No. He's making ontological, that's the fancy philosophical word here, he's making ontological statements about himself that are true. He is the way, the truth, the life. He's not like those things. He is the door by which we enter eternal life. He's not like a door by which we enter eternal life. And when he says, this is my body, this is my blood. We can take him at his word, not get all worked up about it. Remember, he created the heavens and the earth and everything in them by simply saying, let there be. If he says, this is my body, just let it be. Just listen and believe him. Because he's not using a metaphor. He's speaking literally. And you know, once that is opened to you, that you realize he isn't just engaging in a metaphor, you will discover that everything that the scripture says about the Lord's Supper, you don't have to dismiss it anymore. You don't even have to dismiss Jesus saying, this is given for you for the forgiveness of sins. This is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. You don't have to dismiss that anymore and say, well, it can't really be about forgiveness because it can't be his body. Once you realize it is his body and his blood, as he says it is, then you realize, guess what? It's also for me for the forgiveness of sins. So try it out some. Ask your friend, try it out sometime. Just as a thought experiment. Believe what Jesus says when he says, this is my body and this is my blood, and see how everything else scripture says about the Lord's Supper kind of has a tendency to fall into place then. We'll be right back. I'm coming home. Well, my baby, she wrote me a letter.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google Plus. Simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
When the Apostle Paul stated, I have become all things to all men, was he talking about fitting in with the world? I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled All Things to All Men. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read Pastor David Wan's story of failing to find Lutheran theology in several Lutheran churches, but finding it in Scripture and the Lutheran Confessions, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. 10 more minutes going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line on this Thursday afternoon, July the 30th. What's up next, Jeff?
Well, first of all, I'd be remiss if I didn't thank all our listeners for your prayers and support during our oldest son Justin's surgery in Boston. I think it was on July 8th. And thank you so much. For those of you who aren't aware, he had a disease called Moya disease, basically a blocked left internal carotid artery. So they kind of did, and I'm just putting this layman's term, brain bypass surgery. And thanks so much for your prayers and your support throughout the whole ordeal. And he's back home. Everybody's back home from Boston. And he's getting stronger and experiencing less pain each and every day. So thanks to all of you.
I thought I heard you telling somebody he's kind of going stir crazy because of the limitations on his
head. He's not a gamer. He's very active child and he can't do anything cardio.
This is the kid that goes out and shoots hundreds of free throws a night, right?
Yeah, he typically shoot 500 shots a day. And he taught himself to shoot left-handed when he had a wrist issue his freshman basketball season. But we can deal with boredom. That's, you know, that's easy, you know, to deal with. Maybe not easy for him, but, you know.
He's got teenager. the whole rest of his life to throw the basketball around, a few couple of months of boredom.
And thanks to my pastor, Pastor Ben Ball of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, and, you know, for his pastoral care. And he was gracious to find a local pastor to come and provide pastoral care in Boston as well. So thanks to everyone involved. Appreciate it. Melissa writes, I love your program and learn so much from it every day. My question is about the sacrament of baptism. It seems to me that when talking to a Protestant, especially Baptists, they look at us the same way that we look at Catholics when they talk about transubstantiation. The old hocus pocus comes to mind. The Catholics believe that the words turn the bread and wine into body and blood, and the Baptists think that our words magically turn baptism into salvation at the baptismal font. My sister is pregnant with her first child and is struggling with baptism because she married a Baptist. She has been away from the Lutheran Church for several years and is doubting our theology. When we say that baptism saves, shouldn't we include through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, as it says in 1 Peter 3:21? Apart from Jesus Christ, baptism, of course, does not save. When we use that language, though, especially around our Protestant friends, they resist. I've directed my sister to the Catechism, Luther's Small Catechism. Can you give me any other resources or scriptures to help us with this? Thanks for the email, Melissa.
Well, here's a great example of where, and it's kind of like what we were talking about before with the words of institution. People, isn't it interesting, those who want to deny what Jesus says in the words of institution for the Lord's Supper, want to talk about every Bible passage in the Bible except those passages where he institutes the Lord's Supper. They don't want to talk about those words. By the way, there's an article that I'll send to anybody who wants it on that subject called The Real Absence Arguments or something like that. I'll send it to you. Just send me an email, todd@issuesetc.org. The same is true of baptism, those who want to deny that baptism actually does something. It isn't just symbolic of something else. They don't want to deal with the actual words. So let's start with Christ's institution. Christ's institution of baptism is found, I think we could primarily find it in the so-called Great Commission. Go therefore, make disciples by baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. There it is, the institution of baptism. Christ has commanded us to do this. It must be important. And Christ, is there any other place where Christ commands us to do symbolic things? Go do the symbol, make disciples by a symbolic action. Because it's quite clear he's saying there, make disciples by baptizing and teaching. The grammar is unassailable. Does it make a lot of sense for Jesus to say, go actually make disciples for me by carrying out this purely symbolic activity? Doesn't sound like Jesus to me. Jesus deals with the power of the Word of God, not with symbols that have do nothing and only symbolize things. So that's where we begin. And then we can also go to Paul's words about baptism being a washing of regeneration and renewal in the Holy Spirit. We stick with the sound pattern of words that is delivered to us by Holy Scripture, a washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Jesus in John chapter 3. He will call baptism washing in water and the word, being born from above. He's not talking about symbols here. He's talking about real things happening in and through baptism. And then, of course, we have all the baptisms in the book of Acts that are connected directly with the giving of the Holy Spirit. Peter, in the Acts chapter 2 sermon there at the very beginning of the book of Acts, he will say, repent, every one of you, and be baptized, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the promise, not the symbol. The promise is for you and for your children and even those who are far away. So he talks about baptism as being a very powerful thing, not a symbolic, but a powerful thing that does something. And then we come to Peter, who puts the capstone on it and says, baptism now saves you. And we need to follow his pattern of words. But I think you have to get to Peter by way of all the other teachings of baptism. But Peter's the powerful capstone there. He puts it in just completely stark terms. It saves you. How? By connecting you to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Paul, he concurs. He says, all of you who are baptized into Christ were buried with him. You were raised with him. You were clothed with Christ. You were crucified with him. Those are all real events, not symbolic events. And again, we just take Jesus at his word that baptism has the power to make someone who isn't a disciple of Jesus Christ into a disciple of Jesus Christ. Jesus seems to think it does. Make disciples by baptizing. Symbol won't do it. It's got to be the powerful word of God with God's word.
Time for one last email. This is Earl in Clovis, New Mexico. I just want to take a minute to thank you for the show. I am a 60-year-old catechumen. I guess there aren't very many of us, and it appears that I will be confirmed this Sunday, August 2nd, so there will be one less. I've been a Baptist of one flavor or another for perhaps the last 45 years, having begun in the Southern Baptist Convention, moving to an independent Baptist church, and then to a fundamentalist Baptist church. Just before Easter of this year, I found myself at the local Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation asking how I could become a Lutheran. Having begun my catechism class, I started looking for a podcast that I might listen to while driving the 18-wheeler, and Issues Etc. came up. I have to tell you, while studying for confirmation was one thing, immersing myself in current and archived episodes of Issues Etc. was really something else. It actually was quicker to change my way of thinking from Baptist to Lutheran. As I told my pastor a few days ago, I don't believe baptism works grace and faith. I know it. Issues Etc. has been a big help in getting to that point. Thanks for the feedback, and thanks for listening in Clovis, New Mexico, Earl.
Yeah, his isn't the only story. Jeff, who is the guy who's now a Lutheran pastor who is a Baptist pastor for years and years and years?
Dennis McFadden.
Dennis McFadden. We did. If you haven't listened to that interview, just look, Google him on our search engine, Dennis McFadden. He tells his story, and he wrote and actually wrote an article about it in the Issues Etc. journal, year or two ago, our Wittenberg Trail feature, a man who spent his entire life not just as a Baptist, but as a Baptist pastor, and one that was kind of deep into Southern Baptist hierarchy, and then started reading Scripture in the Lutheran Confessions and found himself drawn into the truth of their teachings, and now is a Lutheran pastor. Look, we do not deserve the credit for this. Not in one little bit. The Word of God simply does what the Word of God does. We're just here kind of, what's the term? Broadcasting it out there. Broadcast used to mean throw it as far as you can and as wide as you can. And that's what we're trying to do here on Issues Etc. Trying to cover all those things that are top of mind and those things that are essential to everyday Christian life as well. And very happy to hear that it's borne some fruit there. Stay with that good, solid Lutheran pastor you found yourself with. And above all, don't leave that catechism behind after they confirm you this coming Sunday. Make it your book for life. Make it the book that you live by and from every day. The simple truths taught there of the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, of baptism, of absolution, and the Lord's Supper, those things will hold you in good stead for the rest of your life. So stay with them, as every Lutheran ought to do. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Terry Mattingly about a New York Times story on Pope Francis and LGBT activists. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Hollywood's attitude toward Christianity, the Bible's influence on the U.S. Constitution, the decline of biblical preaching, the connection between biblical illiteracy and Western morality. You'll find these essays and more in the new book, The Word They Still Shall Let Remain, The Place of the Holy Scriptures in the Faith and Life of Confessional Lutherans. Check it out at shop.logia.org. The Word They Still Shall Let Remain, shop.logia.org.